My name is Garland Robinson. The Bible most assuredly speaks of the wrath of God. It tells us of God's anger. It tells us of God's justice. It tells us that one day God will bring this world to a close and render vengeance upon all those that know not Him and do not obey His gospel. We're told in 2 Peter 3 and verse 15 that we are to account that the long-suffering of God is salvation. And it simply means that every day God allows this world to stand is another day that God allows men the opportunity to learn the truth, repent of their sins, and obey the gospel by being baptized. Let me show you a number of Bible examples that show us that this is so. The antediluvian world, that is, the world before the flood, we find was wicked exceedingly. They were ungodly, and their wickedness tried the righteous nature of God until one day He could tolerate it no longer, and He declared in Genesis 6 and verse 3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Throughout those years, while the ark was being prepared, God's Spirit spake through the preacher of righteousness, the man called Noah, and he called upon that wicked generation to repent. Later, the Apostle Peter recalled in 2 Peter 3 and verse 20, "When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, we find that there were only a few, 8 souls, Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives, were prepared, they entered the ark, and they were spared from the destruction of that world." The fact that God's wrath was slow didn't lessen its terrible impact when it was finally released. We read in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 37, something the Lord said, "But as it was during the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." That is, the Lord is coming again. And we know not when that'll be. There are no signs, in spite of the fact that men say there are signs. There's nothing to look for. Affairs and business in this world will go on as usual. So in the meantime, our job is to love the truth, obey the truth, live according to the truth, and we will be able to receive God's blessing. The fact that God is patient and long-suffering does not mean that His wrath and His vengeance will not come, because it will. And the Bible warns us to that effect. Another example of this is what we read in the Old Testament when God tolerated the murmuring and complaining of those who came out of Egypt. They made golden calves while Moses was receiving his law, and yet his wrath was held in check. That didn't mean that God condoned or tolerated their insurrection and rebellion, but it simply demonstrated God's willingness to extend opportunities to repent. We are told in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6, "With many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." So for 40 years, they had to wander in the wilderness and died outside the land of promise because they did not obey God. God's wrath was slow, but it was sure and certain. God works in His own good time. We read in Psalm 106, verse 13 beginning, "They soon forget His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their souls." God's wrath was slow, but their lives made it inevitable that he would come and render justice unto them. Then we read during the days of Nineveh, there was no other city found in historical records any more carnal, barbarous, and bloodthirsty than that infamously wicked city called Nineveh. Streams of blood ran in the streets where that people had gone in and conquered other lands and other cities. No wonder that Jonah at first refused to go preach to them, because he didn't want them to be saved. He wanted God's wrath to come upon them. The masses of the people of the world would have been rejoicing to hear of Nineveh's utter destruction. But we find God's infinite patience, His love and His mercy, in extending them opportunity for repentance. And repent Nineveh did. The Bible says they repented in sackcloth and ashes. God's wrath was withheld as that wicked city turned in repentance, all the way from the king to the peasant. But then we find, like 100 years later, that same opportunity was afforded them, and they did not repent, and God punished them. Surely that wicked city of Nineveh rejoiced that God's wrath was slow, but then it eventually came. This same overriding theme of the whole Bible can be found in Hebrews 10 and verse 31, when it is said, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." This fact is emphasized throughout the Old Testament as prophets revealed God's wrath as well as His love. It was summed up in this, Ezekiel 18, verse 4, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Still, inspired men of the New Testament declared it also. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, Romans 1 and verse 18. That general warning is sounded in Romans 2, verse 5 and 6. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself against the wrath of God the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." But the point is, God will do so on His own timetable, not man's. It was because of a future outpouring of God's wrath that Jesus told the lame man that had been healed in John 5:14, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." In 1 Corinthians 5:11, we read, "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Surely we must know why men have been warned, "Flee from the wrath to come." God does not vent His wrath on all who do not believe on His Son, at least not now. Multitudes have refused to believe that Jesus is God's Son, and yet they go on rejoicing, and they go on enjoying God's blessing day by day. We read in Matthew 5:45, "For He maketh His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Still, that doesn't argue that God's wrath is not coming upon them. We read in John 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Friend, the wrath of God may not descend on an individual immediately, maybe not in a day, or a week, or a month, or even a year, but that wrath is still there. It's still abiding, and it'll descend eventually on all who do not accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and humbly render obedience unto His will. There's no threat made of any immediate reckoning when Paul declared, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained." Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. God's wrath may not be felt by the impenitent until that awesome day arrives, but friend, it will come. God's wrath will be felt. So as slow as the wrath of God is, it's irrevocable and sure. It is God's loving patience that affords opportunity for man to turn to God now. We read in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Though God's wrath is slow, we still cannot escape it. But don't try to deny that God's wrath won't be shown, that it won't come. When they had informed Jesus of how Pilate had mingled the blood of Galileans with sacrifices, the Lord replied, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13, verse 3. You must repent to escape God's wrath in the day of His wrath. Long ago, there was a great prophet declared, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God's wrath has often descended on the disobedient, and if perchance it be delayed, it's no less certain. We're warned the contentious and disobedient will receive indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish. Romans 2 and verse 8. Paul wrote, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Ephesians 5 and verse 5. God's wrath is slow, but be it assured, it will come to the disobedient. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." We read in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 and 8. "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, how tragic it is to fall into the hands of the living God. Friend, don't be misled by modernists and skeptics who deny the wrath of God will come. Oh, how we need to strive to avoid that impending wrath and anguish and desolation. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. God still waits, giving you present opportunities, giving you opportunity to repent. Will you repent? Will you trust Him? Will you obey Him? If you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, be baptized into water for the forgiveness of sins, you can become a child of God and escape the wrath of God by living faithful all of your life.